welcome back in. It's Podzilla 1985 Sports Time on your Podzilla 1985 network. I am Cody Sandusky. Thank you for tuning in this week. It is Saturday, May 28th, 2016, Memorial Day weekend. Of course, a time to celebrate the unofficial start of summer for some people with your family, friends, barbecues. Of course, here in lovely historic downtown Cape, it is raining today and has been raining for the majority of the week. So maybe not the traditional type of backyard barbecue thing that we normally have this time of year. And of course, the reason for this weekend, the reason for the day off on Monday for a lot of people, including myself, hip hip hooray, is honoring those who have made the ultimate sacrifice and service in the U.S. military for their country, for the protection of others, whether it be U.S. citizens or those in other countries or other parts of the world they were serving alongside. So of course, we honor that sacrifice and we say thank you to those who made that ultimate sacrifice, whether it be for our protection, our freedom, or for the freedom and help of other peoples. So with that in mind, of course, it is always a busy sports weekend on Memorial Day weekend. The Monday allows for an opportunity for some people to have special occasions at their games. Of course, St. Louis FC, the local football club, soccer club, I guess, is having a game on Sunday night to kind of make their way into and take advantage of that Monday free day. Indianapolis 500 is on Sunday, the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. So, of course, it is a big occasion for the Great American Race. Of course, it kind of contends with Daytona 500 for that title, but I think the Indianapolis 500 may sneak that away just a little bit. So, with those things in mind, we're going to kind of stick with the same format we did last week, give you a 30 to 45 minute show, maybe abbreviate your time tuning in, which we appreciate you tuning in. We want to make sure we leave ample opportunity for you to either listen to this with friends or to go back to being with your friends or, you know, whatever you may be doing. Hopefully, this accompanies you on your travel plans, but we are glad to be a part of your weekend here on the Podzilla 1985 Network, so thank you for tuning in. A lot of our discussion this week, unlike weeks past, is going to go into really just what's happening on the field. Of course, I will make a few notes of what's going on around the sports world concerning topics we've had in the past. Of course, one of them being involving a sexual harassment or sexual assault case or multiple sexual assault cases. We will go on to what happened at Baylor University earlier this week and maybe a little sidebar in a much different topic about Keenan Reynolds, the former Naval Academy quarterback, now playing for the Baltimore Ravens, or at least on the roster for the Baltimore Ravens in this preseason training situation. We'll kind of go into his situation and what the Secretary of Defense said earlier this week that may benefit him and has caused a little bit of ruffling of feathers, as well as for the big thing going on around the sports world. It's the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals, both happening right here around the same time. The Cleveland Cavaliers making it to the NBA Finals 4-2 over the Toronto Raptors. It has made LeBron James the first player since 1966 and only the 8th player all time to play in 6 consecutive NBA Finals. The other 6, or other 7, excuse me, names you may be familiar with in no small part: Tommy Heinsohn, Bob Cousy, Casey and Sam Jones, Bill Russell, you know, Boston Celtics from when they went to 6-8 in a row. Yeah, LeBron James is in very rarefied air with this accomplishment. And whether you agree with the means by which it happened, you know, with his going to South Beach and now his coming home ceremony, the decision, all of that, be that as it may, it is an opportunity that few players would ever even have the chance to accomplish, nonetheless, to successfully accomplish. So we'll go into that, as well as it's a weird thing going on in the sports world. It does a lot, depending on whether it be the player's demeanor or the team he plays for or she plays for, I suppose, or any of those circumstances, how people tend to disagree or argue or maybe not appreciate special players playing in their respective times. You know, it goes into the old saying, which is you never know what you have until it's gone. And in sports, that seems to be a very prevalent thing. Sometimes even with the best of the best. We have this argument right now. Of course, some people vilifying LeBron James, or some people not really giving Steph Curry his proper due, even coming from some of his fellow athletes like Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, while properly accentuating some shortcomings from Steph Curry, maybe in his playoff series between the Warriors and the Thunder. You know, it's still wanting to appreciate a player in his time, as well as in some cases, like potentially with the Cavaliers and what could be coming up with the San Jose Sharks, who beat the Blues. Anyway, 4-2, the Sharks are making their first Stanley Cup appearance in their 25-year history. So there's an opportunity, whether it be in San Jose, who is the only big dog in the game over there concerning the four major sports. They're the only team in San Jose. Now, San Francisco does play in that area of their stadium, but they're not considered the San Jose 49ers. They are the San Francisco 49ers. San Jose is the only team in the major four North American sports to have a team in that area. So they could bring a championship home to that area for the first time ever. Cleveland, if you follow sports at all, you know how abysmal and how bleak Cleveland sports history is. Of course, falling last year to the Thunder in the NBA Finals. Of course, it happened a few years ago before LeBron left to, when he made the Cavaliers push them to their first championship appearance in many moons. The Cleveland Indians, of course, in 97 to 98, they had their window of time there they couldn't capitalize on. And the Browns, we don't talk really about the Browns for good reason, other than to mock them like we did with the Johnny Manziel thing. It's just a city that doesn't have success in terms of the major sports it has. Ohio as a whole hasn't really had a lot of luck in a long time outside of the Ohio State Buckeyes. But for Cleveland, you know, it's an opportunity, what it looks like to kind of break those streaks. We'll kind of discuss those things as we go in. But I want to start kind of with the quick hits, the few notes we have. One being Art Briles, the head coach of the Baylor University Bears men's football team. Of course, we've talked about Baylor a few times in months past. Tanner and I, or I believe it may have been Tanner, Jesse and I, all three of us, discussed at multiple points the problem going on with college athletics and what seems to be multiple programs, including Tennessee and especially Baylor, having this systematic negligence towards sexual assault, domestic violence, things like that. Due to things coming out and, of course, multiple confirmed cases that have been going through the court system, it has been confirmed that University President Kenneth Starr is being reassigned to another part of the university system, so he will no longer be president. And the head coach, Art Briles, has been terminated as head coach. Now, his defensive coordinator has accepted the interim head coach position, so it looks like they will go in with a coach that was already in the system and is familiar with the team moving into the next season. So for their competitive sake, that may be a benefit, but this came much too late. I get that it's something, and I appreciate that it's something. I don't want it to come across like I don't think this is a step, you know, this is maybe just something for show, which in part it could be. Something has been done. Someone has been forced, whether or not they desired to, take responsibility for what has happened under their watch. That's good. At least that has happened. Kenneth Starr is no longer president of the university, who in no small part has had his own shortcomings and failures in this circumstance by not, you know, maybe doing all that he needed to do. Of course, Art Briles, with his history of players having this kind of trouble with sexual assault and harassment, good on him having to take responsibility for this. I just feel like it's a little too late. And it's rather unfortunate to have to say that, but, or maybe not too late, but I think it's much later than it should have been. I feel like this is something that should have been handled from the word go. Now, of course, you don't want to fire people, you know, nonchalantly. You don't want to fire them quickly or immediately based upon accusations. I understand having hesitation and allowing things to properly process through the justice system. But there's been enough of a history and we've seen enough examples to where it's been plain to see for almost anyone in the sports world that Art Briles and Kenneth Starr, there's been a loss of institutional control. And that's something that the NCAA is real big about, is institutional control or lack thereof. Of course, lack of institutional control led to almost the death penalty for Penn State football after the whole Jerry Sandusky case. It did lead to SMU, Southern Methodist University, being killed off as a football team for 3 years in the late 70s, early 80s, after Eric Dickerson and many of their great players went through. And that program's never been the same. It went from being a potential national champion to not being able to compete. They're just now starting to look a little bit better in Conference USA and the AAU. It's taken multiple decades. So this isn't a new situation in terms of NCAA having that kind of control, or at least that kind of influence. And I believe Baylor, it could be close to that, even though they have made these kind of changes or have made these kind of firings and reassignments. The NCAA could still see it as too little. Now, Mind you, NCAA also has this problem with Ole Miss with a lot of violations for Hugh Freeze being the head coach there. And, of course, the Laramie Tunsil situation. The Medici player brothers, Denzel and Robert, the last few years having some problems with that. It's interesting to see. I'll say that. And it's definitely disappointing for a university that is antithetic, or, you know, it's the opposite of what should be happening in theory at a Christian, quote unquote, university. It's, you know, say as you will, some Christian institutions don't really follow that mindset. They don't really practice what they preach, or, you know, you bring in people who don't practice what the institution believes in. Good, bad, or indifferent, whatever it may be, it's still kind of a definite blight upon a university that would you would hope would kind of be a safe haven and want to protect those who have these kind of cases, these kind of reports, but they haven't done so. So in that light, Art Briles has been terminated as the head coach of Baylor. Of course, some of these cases are still going to go through the system. We're going to have to see what happens. So it's more sit and wait, I suppose. But we also have maybe a more, not quite as controversial, obviously, for many, many reasons, but something else going on in college football, or now in pro football kind of connection. Keenan Reynolds, a quarterback for the United States Naval Academy, for the midshipmen, set a good number of records there, 88 rushing touchdowns, 31 throwing touchdowns in his career as quarterback at Navy. Of course, they run a triple option, so the lack of throwing touchdowns with a combined number of rushing touchdowns, it makes a lot of sense for that system. In times past, what has occurred is that when players graduate from the military academies, now this happens much more in Navy than Army in the last few years, when a player has graduated from the Naval Academy, we'll just use that, instead of being allowed to begin playing their sport, they must finish out their time in service. So they must serve their time before they can move on into being whatever they want to be, whether it be, in this case, a professional athlete. Now, two big examples of that in the past were Roger Staubach, of course, Hall of Fame quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. He was drafted, played at Navy. He finished his service to the Navy before moving on to the NFL. Second one being David Robinson. David Robinson came into the Naval Academy and was drafted by the NBA's San Antonio Spurs, of course, now a Hall of Fame basketball player. So he was commissioned in the Naval Reserves and only had to serve an initial active duty obligation for 2 years. He became a civil engineering officer at the Naval Submarine Base Kings Bay in Georgia, and he was, you know, featured in recruiting materials, of course, which is a benefit to the university. It's like, hey, look, David Robinson, great, you know, basketball player, great figure for this university. He still serves. And, you know, of course, nicknamed the Admiral, never made it above lieutenant junior grade, but actually fulfilled everything he needed to do. He actually, Robinson, considered leaving the academy after a second year to avoid obligation to serve in active duty. But a compromise by the Secretary of the Navy allowed him to do whatever he needed to do before moving on to the NBA. Now, Keenan Reynolds, in this case, this is what some of the ruffled feathers have come from. Keenan Reynolds has received a waiver, or at least a postponement of his active duty service from the current superintendent of the Navy. Now, that occurred at the graduation ceremony in Annapolis earlier this week. So now Keenan Reynolds has been afforded the opportunity to continue his football career whilst not having to focus on his naval career. There is another player, an undrafted gentleman in the NFL, Chris Swain, who is being afforded the same opportunity, postponing his naval service to move on to the NFL. And there are some people who definitely are not a fan of that situation. They want these players to finish their service before moving on to football. And I understand why. You want them to honor and respect the decision they made, the place they decided to go to. You decide to go to any of the military academies, whether it be Air Force, whether it be, you know, Naval, or be military at West Point. You make that decision knowing that if any case, if you are successful at your sport, you may not be afforded the opportunity to pursue that sport until you finish your naval or your military obligations. That's fine. I get that. There are some people who do not appreciate that Keenan Reynolds has been afforded this opportunity without having to currently fulfill his military obligations. And some people on the other side of the spectrum where they see that the Secretary of the Navy is making a good decision, seeing that this young man could be much like David Robinson. Not quite the same plane. Of course, David Robinson, a number one pick or a top three pick, ended up being a Hall of Famer. Keenan Reynolds drafted in the sixth round. He's going to be a kick returner and potentially a running back or a receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. So not quite the same level of stardom, at least at this point. But it could be utilized as an opportunity. Hey, see, successful young man, fulfilled his obligations, has always been commended. There's been no complaints about Keenan Reynolds. He's, in all of his interviews and all of the, of course, publications and all the advertising, not the advertising, excuse me, all the, you know, big stories and features he's done for ESPN and Sports Illustrated and the like, all of his commanding officers, everyone has commended this young man for being a stellar midshipman, not only on the football field, but in terms of his actions, his course load, and his demeanor as a military personnel, which is fine. And that's great. And I'm glad that he's been afforded this opportunity. And because of that, some people say he can be utilized maybe as a recruiting tool indirectly. Hey, look at this young man. He's successful at his sport. He was successful as a military member. He will continue to be when he finishes his obligation. You may have the opportunity to do this. I actually don't mind this decision being made by Secretary of the Navy, Mr. Trying to pull up his name, actually, I'm blanking out on it. Mr. Secretary has made this decision, and I don't think that's a bad thing. It's going to ruffle some feathers, and that may be unfortunate. By the way, Ray Mabus is the Secretary of the Navy. So, yeah, it's being seen as a little bit annoying by some people that, this shouldn't have happened, and this shouldn't be afforded because he should be forced to fulfill his obligations, do as he has been called to do. And that's fine. I get where that's coming from, but this young man, it's a limited window of time, especially in the current sports world. And for David Robinson, he was a 7-foot athlete. He came in, ended up being taller than what you're typically allowed to be as a midshipman. Of course, if you've ever been on a ship, which I haven't been afforded the opportunity, but from just seeing, being 6'8" to start, nonetheless turning into a 7-foot young man, isn't the easiest thing to do when you're cramming into, going down below deck. So different things and adjustments have been made in the past by the military academies to allow these players to come through. And plus, in the football case, for Keenan Reynolds, he's already having to adapt to a different position and a different, way of play, more or less, than what he has grown accustomed to in the Navy. Whereas Roger Staubach, one, it was the 70s, 60s, so a bit different. Two, of course, the pace of play in the NFL was radically different than what it is now, so maybe a bit of a less of an adjustment for Roger Staubach. There was, and plus, I guess for me, it's just a different time. And it kind of plays in that last point I was going to make. I lost it for a second, so I apologize. But for Roger Staubach, he had that 2 years of military service, yes, came in, Hall of Fame quarterback. And it was known pretty early on he was going to be coming out of Navy being a stellar athlete. Being a key player to his position. Keenan Reynolds doesn't quite have that guarantee. He's got something to prove. And in being allowed to do that, I think is commendable in the case of SecNav, Mr. Secretary. I don't know what I get. I understand. I understand where people are coming from in the sense of, you must fulfill your obligations. You must fulfill your duty. This is what you came in for. You came in full well knowing this would be the case. And it's a case-by-case basis. This isn't granted to everybody. And this could change quickly. Someone could come to Navy and this not be afforded to them by the next Secretary of the Navy or by, Ray Mabus, the current Secretary of the Navy. But I don't think it's a bad decision. I don't think it's quite a disrespectful decision as some people are pushing it in this case. That it's fine for Keenan Reynolds to be afforded this opportunity, and I wish him success as he continues his football career, hopefully doing well for the Baltimore Ravens in whatever position he fulfills, whether it be kick returner, receiver, running back, however they utilize him. I hope he does it to the best of his ability. And it seems like, as he's been spoken of so highly in all the press junkets and everything up to this point, and even just in interviews directly with him, that he will do just that. This is PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. Cody Sandusky. It's the Saturday, May 28th, Memorial Day weekend edition. And actually, one final note, and I know I think we mentioned this in times past, or at least when it first happened a couple months ago, but I do want to mention it again because it is blowing up the news as the last quick hit. People aren't very happy at the University of Georgia in Athens, of course, the Bulldogs. And, this has been reported a couple of days or a couple of months prior, so this isn't new information, but somehow it's grabbed a lot of traction, and it makes me chuckle. So we're going to get into it. Ludicrous. Of course, the rapper from Atlanta, famous rap artist, was given the opportunity to perform at G-Day, which is the spring game for the University of Georgia. And of course, Kirby Smart, his first year as head coach of Georgia, wanting to make a good impression, make people think that there's something great going on in Georgia, you know, build an atmosphere. So Ludacris signs on to come in. 15-minute performance. He received $65,000 and a ton of quote-unquote freebies. It was part of his concert rider, which if you're not very familiar, a rider is what an artist or a celebrity, whatever, when they come into your situation or they come into your place, whether it be like this case, a concert, they have certain stipulations, things they want. And of course, for some celebrities or some artists, it's ridiculous things like, you know, the joke about brown only M&Ms and things like that. Well, Ludacris's rider was a bit interesting. He received, of course, the $65,000, and the list included a loaf of bread, whole grain with the most amount of grains, creamy organic peanut butter, strawberry or grape organic jelly, candies, including Snickers, M&Ms, whatnot, a box of green tea, a tazo with condiments like lemon, organic honey, and sugar, Nag Champa incense, mint Listerine, a box of fruit roll-ups. Yes, a box of fruit roll-ups. 6 Hanes large white t-shirts. Okay. 1 Crest Spin rechargeable toothbrush. Really odd. 4 Greek strained yogurts, mixed flavors. Okay, snack, that's fine. 2 bottles of Belvedere vodka. Okay, now we're getting a little out of hand. A case of Nikko coconut water. Okay, unique, whatever. A box of Trojan Magnum condoms. Ludacris had Georgia pick up the tab for his party in the hotel room in Athens that night. And yes, I say that even with the organic peanut butter jelly, the loaf of whole grain bread, the box of green tea, and the Nag Champa incense. Oh, and the toothbrush. Yeah. It seems really, really odd. Now, of course, he's the 3-time Grammy winner, so I guess with an artist of that level of respect or whatnot, you kind of get to pull some strings like that. But the university, of course, the athletic director, Greg McGarity, has had to apologize to the athletic board of directors Thursday. His statement comes out, quote, I do want to take this opportunity to apologize to our board for mistakes we made with certain aspects of the details of an entertainment agreement. Few things in my professional life have bothered me more than this situation. There are no reruns in life, so we need to turn the page, learn from our mistakes, and do everything we can to make sure errors of this nature do not reoccur. Yeah. That's interesting. So, the board of directors, a quote came out that they have accepted the apology. Quote, obviously, in retrospect, they should have done a more thorough job of reviewing all of the writers or removing those that were objectionable. I appreciate that he, being McGarity, accepted that that's what athletics should have done and what it will do moving forward. So, moral of the story, if you're an artist that wants to go perform at the University of Georgia, don't ask for 2 bottles of Belvedere vodka and a box of condoms because Ludacris ruined the fun for you. I say that jokingly. In all seriousness, I would say, are you surprised? Some people are surprised. Some people are genuinely surprised that Ludacris would ask for these kinds of things. If that's the case, you're not very familiar with who Ludacris is as an artist, so welcome to Ludacris. If you're not a fan of his request for a writer, you may not be a fan of his music, so just a heads up. All right, that's the quick hits, and we're already about 24 minutes into the podcast, so I might be going closer to that 45-minute situation, but let's dive right in. Now, mind you, the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals will be happening this coming week. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to watch both of them. So I'm a big basketball fan. I'm a big hockey fan. So it's going to be fun to see both of these things. And hopefully we have an opportunity to see some success on some plane. As we talked about, I didn't even mention it for some others. If you look at here are the participants on both sides of both sports. The San Jose Sharks. Team's been around for 25 years, has never made an appearance in the Stanley Cup Finals, so of course they're looking for their first championship. Pittsburgh Penguins, a very familiar opponent, one of the original six, a team that a lot of people are, you know, love to hate, myself included sometimes, I will admit. So, but a team that has not been to the Stanley Cup Finals since 2009. So this is a team, of course, with Sidney Crosby, Malkin, famous players that are very famous or infamous, depending on how you feel about them, and have seen success on the ice before. In the NBA Finals, we don't know who's in the Western Conference yet. Now, by the time you hear this podcast, you may very well know who is playing in the NBA Finals for the West. But if it's the Thunder, then it's the champ or the champions, the current reigning champions of the NBA, hoping to do their second straight championship victory parade in Oakland in a few weeks. And mind you, a team that before this has been downtrodden over the last couple decades in terms of just poor play, poor performance, haven't really been a big name to follow since the early 90s when it was TMC with Tim Hardaway, Chris Mullin, those kind of players. Or it's the Oklahoma City Thunder, who formerly were the, Seattle Supersonics. I hate to say it. It makes me sad because I know it probably makes some people sad. Formerly, the Seattle Supersonics were moved due to a big controversy, and some fans are still upset that if they move on to the finals and they win, that could have been, that should have been Seattle's title. Be that as it may, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook trying to bring Oklahoma City, a mid-market team in terms, or maybe even a lower market team in terms of fan base and things like that, compared to some of your big cities like your LAs, your New Yorks, things like that, looking for, its first title as Oklahoma City. Correct myself from a moment ago, I forgot Pittsburgh Penguins were one of the first expansion teams alongside the St. Louis Blues in the NHL going from 6 to 12 teams. So not an original six, I apologize, I know better than that. Or you have the Cleveland Cavaliers. And as we've noted, the Cleveland sports franchises have had so much trouble in terms of being able to participate or show any form of success in their sports. They've gotten close a couple times, but have never actually gotten over that hump in terms of winning a title and LeBron James participating in his sixth straight NBA Finals. Cleveland Cavaliers have been around since 1970. They've won three conference titles in 2007, 2015, and now this year. 2007, of course, being the NBA Finals, where LeBron, in his third or fourth season, pushed them all the way to the championship, but the Spurs routed them in four games, and that's all there was to it. Cleveland has never won a title. And it's a team that is very hungry for a title. And of course, LeBron James wants to win a championship outside of the Big Three of Miami to prove that it's not just the Big Three that caused him to win it. Although, depending on who you are or what your thoughts are, that may not be the case. You may still think that, of course, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, while not Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, are still a Big Three. Yeah, they kind of are, but we're not going to get into that at this point. It's also a situation because it's interesting that we tend to, and a lot of people still do it, myself included sometimes, we rip on these players that are a part of these teams so much because we love to hate them, like we said, or like I said a moment ago. But we cannot do that in spite of the fact that we are seeing some of the best players to play these sports come through right now. I loathe the Pittsburgh Penguins. I wish for them to get beat. I got to see them earlier this season, and they did get beat by the Blues. Very happy to be there on hand to see that happen. As much fun as I make fun of Sid the Kid, Sidney Crosby, the young man, I say young man, a few years older than I am, is one of the better players to come through hockey in the last 25 years. Of course, the year he was drafted was he and Alexander Ovechkin, kind of that same window, being considered two of the best hockey players since Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux. And understandably so. They've been great athletes. And for Sidney Crosby and Malkin, you have to give them their due credit. You mock them if you want. Make fun of them. Give them grief for not being the savior of their sports team and their city, respectively. But respect what they bring to the table. Sidney Crosby, despite even some of his injuries with concussions and his problems with that, well, thankfully, we haven't seen him turn into an Eric Lindros situation where the concussions just never allow him to rebound to be the player that he could be or was at one point. Sid the Kid has been able to do that. They have bounced back doing that. He has been able to look very good in his limited time. So I will say it's been fun to see Sidney Crosby make that kind of return. Because you hate him, though, respect what he's doing. You've got to respect that at 28 years old, the guy is already one of the best players to come through hockey in many moons. Just looking at this season, 85 points in his NHL career. He's almost scored 1,000 points in his career. He has 600 assists, 338 goals, and 707 games played. So still less than a goal per game. He's in this season, he averaged a point per game and almost a point and a third per game in his NHL career. So yeah, maybe not quite some of the numbers we've seen in years past, but the game is also different than what it was in years past when we saw players like, of course, Mario Lemieux and your Wayne Gretzky's, even some of your Mark Messier's. The game has changed somewhat, but to disrespect what he's done just because you hate him or to not, maybe not consider what he's done high enough or quality enough to respect is very, very, very short-sighted. Same goes for LeBron James. People love to hate LeBron James. I, for one, love to hate LeBron James because in the current, social circles, current society, he's become kind of that next Michael Jordan in terms of his prevalence in advertising, his face being known everywhere, shoes being copped by every kid, potentially being in Space Jam 2, which would give me all the more reason to loathe his very existence. I get that. And it's easy to paint a target on his back. I've done it a lot. I will admit that, full front. I am a man, I can admit that I have given LeBron James grief in spite of his stellar performance because maybe he chokes in big games or, he doesn't perform when the time is right or he's not capable of taking over a game and leading his team by himself to a championship. He tried his best in 2007. He really did. Basically being the best player by a country mile on that Cleveland Cavaliers team. And they got swept by the Spurs because one man does not a whole team make. Of course, at that time, you had younger Tim Duncan, younger Tony Parker, younger Manu Ginobili. You had players that were much fresher than the ones we've seen this postseason or we saw this postseason with the San Antonio Spurs taking that championship. He's done his best, and while there have been some shortcomings on LeBron James' part, not going to dispute that. I don't think for a second we should take for granted that we are seeing a new type of athlete in terms of this 6'8 dump truck of a man, not in terms of just girth, but in terms of just being able to power his way into any position in the post if he so wishes. We're seeing that type of athlete succeed on a great level and maybe set the pace for what we could continue to see in the future in terms of bigger, stronger guard-forward combos that can score, that can run the court, can do well for themselves. And, I don't think this as much because I wasn't, any older than 4 or 5 through like 10 years old seeing the tail end of Michael Jordan's career. So maybe my perspective is different, but I don't remember people hating on Michael Jordan so much in the sense of, I'm so sick of this guy. I hate that he wins so much. We got to get him out of here. This is so stupid. And of course, some teams fans may have felt that way. I'm sure Charles Barkley's Phoenix Sun followers were not fans of that mindset. I'm sure the Rockets were very thankful they got to win 2 titles with Michael being gone in 94 and 95, because otherwise, Hakeem Olajuwon would have never won 2 titles. I really don't think they would have won either title had Jordan been playing in the NBA at that time. I really think we would have seen a Bulls 8-peat, encapsulating that Boston Celtics 6-in-a-row run that we saw. But be that as it may, whatever disputes we have, or even if Jordan was loathed in the way LeBron James is currently loathed and hated by some. And again, different atmosphere in terms of just constant media coverage. As much as Jordan was covered in the 80s and 90s, Twitter wasn't a thing. Facebook, social media, the internet was not what it is today. So it's, I would say, impossible to compare the coverage of Jordan to LeBron. And even if that was available then, I think we would have seen some more of that with Jordan. I think we would have seen that constant coverage. Maybe not so much on some of the traditional sports outlets like SportsCenter, like ESPN. Maybe that would have been a little more varied. But they focus on those things for a reason. They focus on these players like your Steph Currys, like your LeBron James for a reason. It's because they are changing the landscape of the game. And, it may be a cliche thing to say, and, just to kind of cop out maybe, is, they're changing the game. They're once-in-a-lifetime athletes, so of course they're going to cover it. I say that, and some people may say that in a negative sense. I say that in a very respectful sense. these players truly are changing the way the game has been played. What types of players, what types of body types can come into this? LeBron James could be a tight end in football. I know it's said 100 times. Think about that for a second, though. LeBron James could have been a tight end, and if he would have stuck with it and maybe gone to college for a few years, potentially in the National Football League. That is the type of athlete he is, and no, that's not hyperbole. That is probably truth. I'll stick by it as truth. Steph Curry has completely modified the way players potentially will come up and how they will approach being outside shooters. Will allow players that, on the other side of the spectrum from LeBron James, if you're not 6'8", 270 pounds, like a bulldoze over anybody in your way, maybe you're 6'1 and a 175. Maybe you have finesse. Maybe you have some speed and some good hand-eye coordination. You can develop some good crossover skills. You can develop some good agility. You can develop a shot that is consistent from long range that others cannot. Now, mind you, I'm not encouraging kids to go into the gym and put up 500 three-pointers from 35 feet away. And that's been another big discussion with the proliferation of Stephen Curry and three-point shooters, is how that's going to impact youth players and high school players and all of that. I know in my area, or at least the team that I follow, Jackson Indians, Coach Darren Scott would not allow for his players to take 45 three-pointers a game. That's not the way that's going to happen. Unless he has someone who is that stellar from outside, that's not, there's still going to be that get to the hole and do, you know, bang inside. Get your fouls, draw your points, get the easy baskets. So, yeah, you know, that may be a little bit hyperbole in terms of how it's going to drastically ruin youth basketball, but it has to be taken into consideration that these players are modifying the core tenets of the game, how the game is approached, what kind of people can come into the game, or what kind of styles of basketball can be played on a large scale. You know, someone like LeBron James's size, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you know, they were a little too short to be a big man in the post. You know, you look at maybe your Dennis Rodmans, who was 6'9 and, you know, skinny as all get up and had a great vert and just an aggressive tenacity, or you had your Charles Barkley's, who were 6'6 and just the round mound of rebound, as he was called. LeBron James, that kind of athlete didn't really exist very often. So to see him come in and be as great as he is, heart, you know, better, faster, stronger, you know, quoting Daft Punk, it's something that is just morphing the game into what it's going to be maybe the next 10 to 15 years. Maybe it's not. Maybe this is an anomaly on both of these counts. Maybe they're just fluke players that have this drastic level of skill beyond anything that we've seen before, or drastic different body style combined with skill, and we'll never see it again. That could happen too. If that's the case, though, we definitely need to soak in what we are seeing, because we may not see it again. And even if we do see it again, if you're like me, you're a big statistics nut, you're a big sports history nut, we're seeing before our eyes the change of a sport, and we're seeing historic performances. And for some people, all they can do, every bit of their effort is spent mocking or ripping or hating or trying to negate what is being done on the court, on the field, on the ice. And that's just disrespectful. If you've never met me in person, let me paint the picture for you. I'm around 6 foot. I'm 290 on a bad day, 285 on a good day right now, although I'm working on that. I'm not someone that can say, oh, hey, I can do that better, or hey, I don't respect this because I've seen it or I've done different. I'm not. I'm a guy that's destined for sports radio. But in the fun part of that, it means I can watch as an observer from the outside and see, okay, I've seen these players come through. I've seen this style of play for many years. This is something we're not going to see again. And while I give grief, while a lot of couch quarterbacks or a lot of couch critics give grief, even a lot of us in sports radio, a lot of sports broadcasting, sports media, we have to find the interesting story or the big men to poke at, because that draws readers, that draws clicks, that draws listeners. I get that. That's a struggle I have, wanting to rip too many of these guys, but I cannot do it. I have to, on the other side of the spectrum, give credit where credit is due and just acknowledge that we are seeing history in the making with some of these players, with some of these people. Don't poo-poo on it just because you're bitter, or just because he's beat your team, or just because it's ruining the way you played basketball in rec league as a 17-year-old. Respect it, honor it, and just enjoy watching it. It's a lot of fun. It's a weird time of year where we're seeing these two big championships, and then we have some dead air. We have baseball coming through. Of course, you know, we're a month and a half, almost 2 months into the season right now, so things are not quite looking toward their championship that happens in October and November. Once basketball and hockey end, we don't have any championship sports going on until really October, November. And that's when you start seeing the NBA and the NHL pick up. The NFL will have been started for a month and a half at that point, or approximately almost 2 months. So just sit back and enjoy it. It's a fun time of year. Sit back, observe, and just soak it in. If you're a sports fan, this is fun. You get to see either, in some cases, long-standing curses, long-standing sorrow for a sports city be broken. Or you get to see the continuation of what could be a dynasty. Or you can see a city that hasn't had a professional sports team before win its first title. Now, mind you, you're going to hear some real bitterness from a team or from a city in the Pacific Northwest, and admittedly, deservedly so. But you get to see a city who's never had this level of competition before maybe celebrate a title. Same goes in hockey. You're either going to see a team who admittedly rubs some people the wrong way, but has been back and forth in its history a very successful franchise with two cornerstone players coming through. Actually, this is kind of a repeat of the 90s. You see Lemieux and Jagr in the 90s. Today, you see Crosby and Malkin. It's a lot of fun to see that. Or you're going to see a city, again, who doesn't have another professional sports team other than this one. It's only been around for 25 years. Oklahoma City, it's only been, what, 10 maybe at this point? Right around 10? I'd say maybe 8 or 9 that moved from Seattle to Oklahoma City. But you have a team that's been around for 25 years. This is their first chance at their sports respective championship, especially a championship that is highly respected, touted, and lauded as Lord Stanley's Cup. Just sit back and soak in the fun. That's my motto this week. That's my plea this week. That's my soapbox this time around. The more you know, whatever it be. Just sit back and enjoy it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to start arguments on the internet. I admit, I do it sometimes myself. It's a lot of fun to rip on people to draw listeners. I get it. I do too. But beyond all that, it's a fun sports week ahead. So sit tight, strap in, and just go with it, because you're going to see some great action on the ice. You're going to see some great basketball on the court. And before I go, because it would be disrespectful not to, or at least it would be a big cliffhanger not to, we at least know the Stanley Cup final, so I will make my prediction. I predict the San Jose Sharks will win in six. I believe they're a team, of course, seeing them eliminate the local and my beloved St. Louis Blues. They're a team that is hungry, they're aggressive, and they can adapt very quickly to most styles of play. This isn't the sniper-heavy team of old that you saw in San Jose. They have that speed, they have that scoring ability, but they're much better balanced, much more well-rounded, and I think they're going to take the Lord Stanley's Cup for the first time. And the NBA side is really hard to debate because it's going to depend on which team gets out of the Western Conference Finals. For right now, because they have been gelling so smoothly, even with the battle against the Raptors. You saw the Raptors take two games. And kudos to the Raptors. That's another thing I didn't really get into. A team that's never been this far in the playoffs before. Their first ever Eastern Conference Finals, excuse me. A team that's been around for about 20 years, 25 years. 20 years, I guess, in 1995, 96. Kudos to them. A team in the greater, you know, Great North. Toronto's had some struggles with their baseball team over the last 20, 25 years. They haven't won since 93 in the World Series. The Raptors have been a new thing. It's been fun to watch them, too. Definitely soak that up, and I hope they come back next season, even if it's at the behest of my Bulls. I get it. The Raptors were fun to watch, and I love that team. I love watching them, so congratulations to them. If it's the Warriors, I say it goes 7. If it's the Thunder, I say it goes 6. I'm just not sure which way yet. I'll say Cleveland. My old buddy Rob, who I used to do an afternoon show with here in the area, he'll love that. So, Cleveland. Cleveland and San Jose are my picks, and we'll get into that more as we move into next week's show. But we're at about the 45-minute mark, so I want to say thank you for listening to this week's episode of Podzilla 1985 Sports. Of course, you can do the following if you enjoy this broadcast. You can like us on Facebook at Podzilla 1985. You can find the website, podzilla1985.com, where you can follow a lot of our cast and crew on Twitter. Follow me at Cody Sandusky. Go to redbubble.com, buy the apparel. The great PZ85 sports baseball shirt is up and active on that site to purchase. Find us on Patreon and back us on Patreon at patreon.com. Search Podzilla 1985. I know I'm popping into the mic a lot because I'm very passionate about this part, and it's always fun to deliver. Because I didn't get the plug, of course, Gaming Ground 709 Broadway in Cape Girardeau, the location also in Jackson in the town square for all of your gaming needs, retro games, pre-orders, and special orders. For me, maybe picking up a hockey game real soon. But until next week, everyone, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Have fun with your friends and family or whomever you may spend your time with. Remember to honor those who've made the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you to those who have made that sacrifice that we may enjoy the liberties and freedom that we do and the protection that we have. Otherwise, stay safe, stay dry if you can. Soak up some championship sports, guys and gals. It's going to be a fun week. And we'll be back next time with more Podzilla 1985 Sports. See you soon.